So let's roll in after this little hiatus.
Okay.
So we're coming at you.
Welcome back.
From within our quarantine.
Yes.
In our basement.
This is the weirdest time ever.
Yeah, and a lot of you may not know that we are based in Washington. So Susan actually grew up in the city of Kirkland, which is kind of the epicenter of where this all started.
At the nursing home.
Yes, mm-hmm. And our family, and I lived in Kirkland for a while. We're about 8 miles from there right now. So mm-hmm. We have seen this.
Oh, I know all about your Kirkland days.
I'm not telling you. Obviously, you know. The hell's going on around here?
Maybe the people need to know.
Maybe this quarantine is getting in your head.
You know what? If I told you my life was a lot different, I would be lying to you.
Oh, from the way it has been for the last 9 months?
Yes.
So we're going to talk, obviously, COVID-19 will come up a lot because that's what's going on in the world. But our lives have kind of been gearing up for this type of situation.
Bizarrely so.
Strangely so, yeah. And it's not to say that we're not trying to say that we saw this coming by any stretch of the imagination, but no. The way we've been setting up our work and our personal lives is, it fits very well in a quarantined lifestyle.
Yeah, I think we were gearing up for the baby and still wanted to do stuff and put out content. So this was kind of like how we could do that.
Yep.
And I've always been very appreciative.
Well, and like even for me at work, my team, because we've got members in, I mean, we've got board members across multiple countries. We've got people in different states and we're, you know, trying to expand with a wide footprint. So we've been setting up and getting used to using tools where we're doing a lot of stuff remotely. So I've been using Trello. Like this really hasn't changed a whole lot other than everyone's families. Like we all have, mm-hmm. That's been our big thing.
That's
it's like Susan's
so
parents
sad.
Are older. And of course they want to see the grandkids and, mm-hmm. and it's been weird to have them taking it. Well, her dad taking it very, very seriously
from the beginning,
from the onset.
And I was such a dick to him because I kept saying like, Dad, I know you're older and you're worried, but it's not this big a deal.
We were joking that we thought we'd already had it. Cause a lot of people remember like on my stories, like people were like, man, are you all right? You've been sick for like a month. And it was this moving target. Like
it was so weird. We'd feel kind of good one day. And the next day I'd be like, I think I have a fever and
Carter already had the flu. So mm-hmm. none of the kids got what Susan and I had. It seemed unique to mm-hmm. us, but it again,
but you could still function through it, but it was pretty annoying and I was very tired.
Yeah. So we don't obviously don't know, but we were kind of like joking around and your dad was around during mm-hmm. that time too, but we were just kind of like being playful with it and giving your dad really busting his balls is what we were doing. And
he has a lot of people in China. So they kind of were warning that the U.S. wasn't taking it seriously.
Yeah. His business is heavily involved mm-hmm. with China.
And his daughter included was not taking it seriously.
Also, he was in Vietnam. His mm-hmm. family, like he's seen a lot of things and he just looked around and went, this is not for me. This mm-hmm. is worse than it seems. So we were kind of getting spoon fed that. And Susan and I were taking the position of, oh, it's the flu. And we're not going to spend this whole podcast trying to explain that, like act like we're doctors. But we were kind of downplaying the whole thing. And then as it progressed a little bit and we saw it hitting home, we thought, oh, we better start to take this a little more seriously. I was actually a little bit ahead of you on that, Ben. Not in a braggy way. I'm saying I got a little more concerned early.
Yep.
And Susan just kept saying, I just can't really get with it. Like, I just can't buy into
but
it.
But I know the turning point for me. I was interviewing a woman who works at this amazing organization that gives kids food, hungry and homeless kids food. And
do you not remember the name of the organization? Because it would be
no,
like
it's
a good
Bellevue Life Spring. And located in Bellevue, obviously. And they their whole goal is to keep kids in school and graduated through high school and then keep families from getting evicted. So I didn't realize there were so many homeless people in Bellevue because it's one of the most affluent areas ever. But I was in an interview with her and I walked into the mall and I had been going to the mall a lot lately because of kids' gymboree classes. And it was so empty that it was kind of spooky. And then we were talking about it in her office and then her employee came in and just said, you know, the governor
because you guys
said,
were talking about how to feed the kids for the 2 weeks that they weren't going to be in school.
Yes. I was like, what can I do to help? She's like, we just got to get through these next 2 weeks and make sure that the kids that get fed at school, if they can't drive, they can't get to food. So how are we going to get these kids fed? And then her assistant came in and said, they've shut down all schools until, you know, end of April. And we just all three kind of stared at each other like, huh. And I was like, I might have to go get my children. But that was a turning point for me. It just, I felt like I could feel the entire country shift, or my, everyone around just
going,
you say
that, but I feel like
shit.
We feel that. And yeah. There's a big chunks of the country that haven't, or are just now starting to feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. Where I don't think it's that we saw anything before anyone else did. It just, it was so close to home for us. Mm-hmm. But when the NBA shut down for me,
I remember you calling and saying like,
it's done. It's way bigger than we think. Cause they're so woven into the fabric of China. And when the doctor that saw the test result first from Rudy Gobert, that Twitter video of him sprinting across the court to tell everyone and pull players off, I thought, under what circumstances would a doctor who seems to likely have a lot more information about this than I do feel it necessary to, like, how much time did he save? 3 seconds?
Well, and now knowing how contagious it is, it's like everybody on that court probably was affected, you know?
But I just, and that's what freaked me out is like a doctor who's usually going to be calm, like cool, and collected
is training,
running in dress shoes across the court. And I thought, to save a couple of seconds and freak a lot of people out in a stadium, or potentially do so, there must be something serious going on. And to go back and know that that was the doctor that was informing everyone of what happened, I just went, ugh. People that know a lot more than me seem to be a whole lot more concerned about this. And so
that's what was hard for me. I kept telling you it's the juxtaposition between some of the reactions. Cause to me, I'd be like, I'm going to listen to the CDC and like,
but that's cause we've got shitty leadership right now.
I know. But I was, every time I would hear them, they would say, just continue to, the risk is low, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick. I was like, okay, fine. And I thought it was not a big deal because I kept hearing that. But then seeing the NBA shut down, seeing the school closures, I was like, if it's really this low risk, why such extreme measures? Yeah. And I was like, something is not like matching up to me.
Well, and historically, this is not necessarily pro or anti-Trump. If your metric for whether or not he's a good president is strictly financial, and you're somebody who has money in the market, and that's really what you care about above all else, shout out to Charlie, my friend Charlie.
I pictured him when you said that.
If that's where your primary focus in life or your financial wherewithal comes from that area, then that's your focus. And he's doing a good job so long as that's well protected and doing well. And for a lot of people, they overlooked all of the other things and all the other signs. And what we see right now is what it looks like when a celebrity, you know, rich guy is in charge. There's a lot of things he can do and things that he gets away with that nobody in history would have gotten away with. But that leads to this kind of feeling of invincibility, and we're seeing what it looks like when he's just ill-equipped to make the decisions that need to be made.
In an actual life and death crisis.
Right. And not to like go all markety on this, but with Trump, his only motivation is a stock market. So when he comes out and he bloviates that we'll be back in action by Easter and
bloviates.
It's no problem. Is that the right word?
I don't know. I was impressed. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Well, I hope it's a real word. Anyway, when he comes out and he huffs and puffs about it and he makes a big stink and the market reacts positively, he's getting his reward. He's getting his little treat, and he comes back and he does it. And now he's to the point where he's just like all in betting on ridiculous things that nobody seems to support.
It's going to be a beautiful time, Jake.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful time. Beautiful. What a moron.
It'll be a beautiful time for this to end by Easter. Like, you can't just say that and make it happen.
And I think for everything that I don't like about him, somebody's got a point that they do like, and I don't care to argue those things. Like, I'm always going to err on the side of, like, you know, being kind to people and being a thoughtful person and all of that. So, but I've never really let my opinion show. But this is one time where I feel it's safe to say, if you think he's managing this well and doing a good job, you must have a lot of money in the stock market. That must be the only metric you have for whether or not something's going well. And in the end, obviously, that's not doing well either.
Right. But it's the confusion, and it's the him and the doctor sitting there saying completely separate things in the same press conference, and everyone being like, what?
Yes. Or the doctor saying, I can't push him down and take the mic from him, is like, that's a terrifying statement to have. Cause clearly,
are you sure you can't, Fauci?
Right. Anyway, so not to make this whole thing about that, obviously it's close to home for us. We're right in the middle of it. But one of the things that's been really crazy to see is like calling my mom, she's in Florida, and saying, mom, you know, she's kind of doing the thing like everyone else was.
I'm
going
to keep living my, like what I said, I was like, I'm not going to let it,
it's not going to affect me. Fear. Yes, exactly. I was like, mom, this is not a terrorist attack.
Right.
You don't stand up and be proud Americans and carry on with your business. That's exactly what plays into the hands of a virus. And so, you know, and on top of it, I'm going to touch on a work-related thing that I don't want to become misconstrued. So I wanted to make sure it came out through our podcast. But I'll touch on that later. Some of it's the antimicrobial benefits of CBD and CBG and CBN and how that could be interesting to see whether or not that plays a role in things like this in the future.
Yeah.
But calling my mom and saying, hey, you should take this more seriously. We are, it's not a terrorist attack. You don't puff up and do this. And I'm right in the middle of all of this research about, you know, bacteria and viral infections, and just take it seriously.
Right.
Fast forward 5 days, my mom's bawling.
Hysterics.
And, you know, flights are being canceled. She's, you know, worried that nobody in Florida is taking it as seriously. And, you know, she's from Washington. She's watching the news a little closer. And I just thought, and she was upset that my grandmother wasn't freaking out and staying out of, you know, Walmart or wherever she was going to go shopping. And I said, mom, it's only been like 4 or 5 days since you were telling me this was nothing to you. And so to see that the bend in the story and how it started to affect, I would really like to talk to more people throughout the country and see where they're at on the scale, because it does seem like we're getting a dose of it shot right into the arm, especially the West Coast, mm-hmm. where we're taking this very, very seriously.
Yeah, us California, like the whole coast is screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, the numbers are scary, and
And going back to leadership, what's frustrating for me is if the virus is as contagious as they say it is, if you have half the country, you know, shelter in place, staying in, and then you have a bunch of other people just carrying on with their lives, it's not going to do anything.
Well, right, because this could compound for 3 more weeks.
That's what I'm saying. The people that have already been doing the right thing are going to be in this.
We're getting gypped.
Yes,
we're getting gypped.
Going to be in this for months longer than other people.
But you've got the other side of the equation. Like in Washington, it was necessary because there was so much more of it going around. But then, you know,
if they can contain in other states, I guess.
Right. But it still seems odd that as a business owner, and we'll touch on, I actually think this probably in some ways helps my industry overall. Mm-hmm. At least it forces it into a conversation that it's not currently in or isn't in enough. But when you talk about businesses that are in states where they haven't been forced to shut down, and if you owned a gym here in Washington and it's been shut down now a lot of things have been closed or open doing no business. That's the other thing, is if you're open and not doing any business anyway, it's almost easier to rip the Band-Aid off and have the doors shuttered and figure out how to go from there. But if you had a gym here and no one's been at it for 3 weeks, and this goes on for another 2 or 3 weeks, and before the nation really gets serious about a lockdown, businesses out here have taken an extra hit. And so, you know, there's so many things. Talking about the tax credit, how does it work if you're in a state that is sent back to work and one that you're not? There's so many things to figure out that I don't think this podcast or we are the people to sort that out.
That's what's the most frustrating, like I was telling you this morning. We're watching this unfold and you feel so helpless because the only thing we can do is stay inside. So we are doing that. We have been, you know,
like doing our part. To me, I told you, I never thought I was the type of person because I can spend so much time. Like if I have downtime, I'll make ads.
A project.
I'll do a project. Yeah. I'll come up with a new product. I'll come up with a new brand idea. And it just seems to never, never, ever stop. And this is the one time where I have the time to do all these things and really, really work. But the problem is we've got, you know, accountants that are trying to figure out, they've got family all over the country. They're trying to reel in our lawyers. And then my personal attorney has a coworker who dies 4 days after she goes home with a sore throat and ends up in quarantine. Like and obviously one of your best friends, but all of Danielle's been on the show actually. Right. Yeah.
Our political analyst.
Yes.
Analyst.
Anyway, so there's been so many people that have been affected in our general sphere that it's hard to even get people focused on what we're trying to get done. So it's an interesting time. So if you're listening to this in a state like West Virginia and you're sitting around, you know, kind of looking around going, what is everyone freaking out about?
I just feel like it's inevitable at this point.
Right. I certainly hope that we only have a handful of hotspots in the country and we have a better understanding of what's going on than most. Mm-hmm. But from reaching out, like I said, talking to friends in Florida that are starting to take this seriously because Florida's popping up with a lot of cases. It's a strange time around here. The empty shelves of toilet paper, we were having that, you know, 12 days ago.
Right.
And so I keep seeing people post.
I feel like we keep going, people keep, like my brother calling me and saying, you guys need to go stock up.
Get serious.
I'm like, I've been trying to tell you that.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for weeks. Like we're already in it. And every time you go to the store, it's like, are we going to be able to go back and like when and
yeah,
how much food do we need? You know,
I saw a police officer today looking at a guy's phone as he was walking down the sidewalk and he was looking at his phone and I was at the stoplight. I was able to watch him. I could see him saying like, I'm going to get stuff. Like yeah. He's showing them a shopping list. Mm-hmm. So they are starting to just inquire and see what's going on. And then I noticed there were police cars like at both exits on Mercer Island. There was police cars on both sides of the street on the exit into Factoria. So they're definitely like manning their posts a little bit and getting ready to enforce some of the stuff. So anyway,
which I think is good. That's what we need to do to get it contained. Then it's what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's eerie. I think the one time I went out to the drugstore the other night and it was Saturday night and it was like ghost town and masks, you know, like tumbleweeds going across the parking lot. I'm like, what in the hell is, it's so eerie. And I love all the people. So it makes me so sad.
Yeah. When I went to Target today, they had all the carts like caution taped off. And so I was, you walk in, you're a little confused. And the guy said, do you want a cart or a basket? And I was like, well, I'll take a cart, I guess. And so they pull one out and he sprays the whole thing down and wipes it like to bottom, inside the cart, basket, everything, and then hands it to you. And, you know, just one after another. So they're definitely like, and all the other stores, of course, are all gated up.
Right.
Like, it feels like exactly what you would think. I mean, hopefully this is just what's necessary to get us back to normal. If it slides much further than this, it's really going to start to feel weird. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people at home, but let's talk about the fun stuff. Like let's talk about what's coming that's been interesting for us to see.
Mm-hmm.
And to summarize why this was an interesting topic for us, not because we think we're COVID-19 experts, but because social media and the way we've set up the brands and what we're focusing on both personally and professionally all kind of play into this. And it feels like people are being forced into functioning more similar to the way we see things happening in the future anyway, which is not necessarily VR and no one goes outside and no more vitamin D in the world.
But you can get together and get projects done without meeting in person.
Right. And there's so many tools to do so that we don't use. I mean, you know, for years.
It's funny to see people that we've been telling like, how many times have I told my mom about like Instagram stories? And she's like, what is it?
I keep hearing people say that they follow you. What do they mean by that?
Yeah. I'm like, I've explained, but now she's doing Zoom and Facebook Live.
Well,
and
how many people are now Zoom? Like I never heard Zoom outside of our work spheres.
I heard Skype.
We use it, but I never heard anyone else talk about it ever.
Yeah.
And now it's like,
everyone's Zooming it up.
Everyone's a Zoom expert.
Our baby class wanted to do a Zoom.
Good Lord.
I didn't jump on mostly because the whole point is to get your baby out of the house, playing with other babies and like in a safe play zone with other people. You can't do that via Zoom.
First of all, this is a class that most people don't know that Susan's been taking the baby to, or one of the classes, and just to get out and about and get him socialized. And Susan cannot stay out of trouble.
No, I there's so many rules. I break rules constantly. I brought coffee in the other day and I got the, is that coffee? Yes. Is it hot? Yeah. Well, you can't bring that on the baby floor. That's far too dangerous. And I was like, okay, just you can put it by the window. So I'd have to leave our baby on the play mat, run to the front door, take a sip, and then run back to the mat.
Such a bad mom.
I know. There's too many rules. I break them all the time.
Yes. Well, anyway, so the whole idea of getting a little more interactive with social media and using some of the tools, I just felt like there's there's so many times I go to Tacoma to go down to our offices and four people are there. We have a great, and then there's two or three that are conferenced in or using Zoom. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like we're just as effective and I'm not spending the hour and 10 minutes in traffic on the way home.
Right. And how many times did I complain about all the doctor's appointments you have to go to after the baby? And it's like, especially if it's just, you know, hey, how's it going? I'm pretty sure I can weigh him here and tell you how much he is. And Anyways.
So no, but it is fun to see everyone using the, and going live. That's one of the things that say. Like everyone that's younger than pretty much everyone listening to this right now. And yeah, I just took a shot at your age, no matter how old you are listening to me right now. You probably are not on, you know, live feeds very often and it seems a little awkward, but I remember saying to Susan, not even a year ago, like, oh, all these younger people, like they'll just turn their phone on and they'll no like walk away.
Yeah.
They'll be doing something. I don't realize that like they're really only doing it for six or eight of their close friends. They're basically just having an online hangout session and I'm the old guy going, well, he's not even looking at the
they're
camera.
Not even talking to anybody.
What are they doing? He just walked away when he expected me to be here for 3 minutes. It's like,
this is boring.
Yeah.
But then you stay.
You start to understand the function and how it works and it isn't meant to be like, I'm going to keep you captivated for
an
hour
straight. It's not supposed to be a
content
video. Yeah.
Right.
It's been such a game changer for musicians. And I've seen so many musicians go live. What's crazy to me is most of the celebrities that are doing it.
Terrible.
Suck at it.
Oh, I was hoping that's what you're going to say.
Yes,
they're terrible.
They suck at it because they don't know. And they're so used to having everybody do everything for them that they don't know how to like make something sound good or.
But why do you expect would you expect a good radio DJ in the 50s and 60s to become a really great actor on television?
Yeah, that's
because it's not the same thing.
It's not.
It's similar.
The only reason my stuff sounds remotely okay is because of you. Because otherwise I'd be like, well, it's just an iPhone and it's fine.
Oh, gotcha. It's just like the general quality overall.
Yeah, yeah. All of the quality, everything, like, the reason my content is as high quality sound wise and visuals is because 1000% only because of you.
But it's all like it's all stuff that I've learned over the last year. I mean, obviously I've been around sound and videography for a long time, but not very good at it for a long time. And most of that has been an experiment with you so that I can figure out how we're going to set up personalities and personas for each of the brands to kind of be a living representation of our individual products. Because I really firmly believe that, you know, in the old days, it was a good logo and a good motto. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how you establish a brand. And then, of course, obviously building products that sell in the market. But you kind of maintain that brand when it's way more alive than it ever has been. And
when I feel a huge shift coming because the celebrities are now behind the curve when it comes to the
influencers
the
worst
and
on
the
social
musicians.
Media.
But I saw this one girl that I love. She's a singer on TikTok and she just sang the national anthem of the Lakers game and she went to the Grammys, you know, supporting TikTok.
I think sent her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That girl,
they did.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she did a live session with JoJo, old school R&B singer and pop singer from like the early 2000s. And I was like, oh, that's so cool that she gets to do that with JoJo. And then I thought of how many more followers she...
It's totally reversed.
And I was like, oh, no. JoJo's the lucky one because she's getting so much shine on her account and how they're used to it. They're used to sharing their entire lives on these platforms. And it's so authentic for the most part, or just more authentic and more...
It's a different...
Than
way
the other
of showing
celebrities.
Yeah. It's the difference between telling a story on the radio in the old days and then showing it on television. It's a different type of storytelling. It's a totally different type of engagement. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily one better than the other, but it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And so when
there's no, you can tell when someone's scripted or trying.
It's the celebrities that have been at it for a long time. And like the TV hosts, like Jimmy Fallon, when he first was on late night, it seemed like he was the most authentic one that's ever been there. And now when you see him try to take that same approach and do it on social media, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't translate
the
same.
Well, and you just don't have, it's the, I know it's the history of the show, but it's like the setup and then the punchline, the setup and the punchline. And if you don't have an audience there or a band amping that up, it's not going to translate.
Very bland, yeah.
And I think he does the best job he can of like, like being funny about it and using his kids in the videos. Like, I appreciate that. But it just is so different than the people who are used to putting out their content in that form.
Well, and it's way more raw, and it feels more, you feel more connected to the person, and you're able to see their mistakes and mm-hmm. see what they've done well, what they're not doing well. And it isn't just like, it used to be like, oh, I hate that guy. You turn on the TV and there would be a certain, like, oh, I never watched this. I can't stand so-and-so. It's like, you don't know him at mm-hmm. all. It's his character. It's his delivery. It's part of, he's got a writer, a script, you know, a whole thing that he's sticking to. And people would say all the time, oh, I hate that person. Very rarely with
that person.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, but I feel like that you don't have to play that character. You can let your flaws be shown. You can actually talk about real things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out everyone's real hair color.
Right.
All the salons down.
Oh, we're going to have a
girls are looking
vlog
ratchet
of the century myself when you let me do your hair.
I think I might let you do that.
I think it's the best decision you've ever made.
Okay. That's very confident.
I have no concerns about it at all.
The fact that you said the worst thing that could happen is I would be too blonde makes me so nervous, because that is the best case scenario out of all. My hair could turn orange. It could fall out.
It's not going to happen.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, of all the things, when have I ever said, I'll do something, and you just went, he has no fucking business
all. You would do your due diligence. You would be very meticulous and detailed. And
I feel like I can watch one video and go, yep, got it. I don't need to go to school for 6 months to figure it out.
But is that like the people that are like, no, I can sing.
I don't sing. I know where I can't do things. Like, I would say flat out, I can't sing. Have you ever heard me say, like, oh, put a mic in front of me, watch me go?
No, but
how many things have you seen me not do well?
There's people that are trained and professional that are doing it.
And I'm sure they're very good at it. I just think that the way they do it, what's being done, and the concept behind it is available in a tutorial on YouTube. And if this wasn't true, why is the salon that you go to sending out kits and a do-it-yourself training video or a tutorial over the phone on how to do it?
With your stylist. No, this is what I got that kit. And so
You did?
I did. I bought that kit.
This is married life. You don't even know that you just bought a do-it-at-home kit.
Well, it was very reasonably priced. And so we're going to get...
Dare I ask on record?
It was just $40.
Oh, that is cheap. See, yeah. That's why I should be doing your hair.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If this goes well, we may have to just have you continue it unless Dylan's in town. But they are sending the kit. Part of my concern is getting quality product, and they already have my like mixture that they used last time. So yeah. I feel like they could...
Well, tell them they need to up it 20% blonder.
I know.
More blonde. Anyway, I have zero concern about whether or not I would do a very good job.
I think I would do it more for the story, but...
Me too.
I could be saying... regretting that.
I mean, keep in mind, I'm completely bald and give no shits about hair, but I would take good care of yours. Okay. I mean, I don't want you to be bald.
No, I don't want to be bald either.
No, I understand it's not the same as doing my mom's hair, but I definitely.
But that's called frosting.
I understand what frosting is. Listen, everybody, there's going to be a vlog. It's going to be a good one, and her hair's going to look amazing.
I mean, we'll see.
Most likely. Anyway, we're doing that for sure. That's what quarantine does. Mm-hmm. That'll get you to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But no, we're seeing, like, I think we're seeing this really cool use of technology and a lot of people adapting their lifestyle to accommodate what's going on.
It's fun. Because I feel like you're kind of on an island when you're telling people to plug in that way as much as we have. And it's cool to see people like being forced into that in a way where they wanted to do it, but they never would take that leap to do it unless it was necessary.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun to see people, like my mom be like, I'm going to try my life. I'm like, good, do that. You know?
It's a new tool that most people are going to resist until it's just like the people we have in our lives who said they would never get an email address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it's the technology revolution.
Yeah. It's forced and it's uncomfortable, but we will definitely learn. There's going to be a lot of companies too that I think will come out of this saying, do we really need an office building that can house 4,000 employees, or do we need the 40 most critical employees here and everyone else telecommuting telecommuting, that won't even be a word in a few years.
I know.
But the point is still made. I think this is going to force a little bit of a revolution. I mean, beside the obvious one of like
cutting the unnecessary stuff.
Yeah.
And this is coming from somebody who loves to be around people and would love to go in an office with people I love to work with.
Yeah.
But realizing like that is has so much more value and can save so much more time.
I think there's some importance to it. And that's why I like the idea of our whole team having, you know, our Monday morning call, which we do every week, and then having everybody out handling different projects, partly because geographically we're just all over the place. But a couple of days a week, having everyone in the same office is very, very helpful.
Yeah. It's just cool that you can have a team that's all over the place.
Yeah.
That you can have that meeting with everybody, not in the same place.
And we use Slack all the time. Like and that's not like a new thing, but if you are looking for a project management tool, if you can just commit to using it, I can manage 50 people and 500 projects with my phone. I could get on right now and tell you all the sales data for all the licenses we're partnered with. I mean, just I can get so much information and tell anyone or everyone something at the same time. It's phenomenal. I love it.
And just like, with you guys staying open and being deemed essential.
We are like, essential. That's
essential. That is huge. Like,
I know it's hard. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay. I mean, I was going to say something else, but we can come
let's
back
have
to
it.
I was just going real quick. And then let's get into that because that is going to be longer, but with people having the time and using social media to connect, my content numbers have been up a ton because people have the time to consume stuff. So, I mean, I was going to say there are upsides to
for anyone out there. Yeah. That's looking at the same way. I may be unemployed for a while. Mm-hmm. We've been saying for a year and a half now on this podcast, like, I don't care who you are. If you're listening because you found us randomly, or you're my cousin, you're an expert on something. If you do it, I will watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm committing that, you know, until we get too big where that's just not an option, but I am on the road for an hour a day when I drive south, and even going to the Seattle office, that's still, you know, I'm in the car a lot. If you make some content and you tell me where to find it, I will listen to it. I'll give you feedback. I'll help in any way that I can. And I think that we've been saying, what better time than now for a year and a half? Like, literally, what do you have to do right now that's better than doing something, whether that's just hopping on your stories, doing your first live, or sharing information? Like, do something. Take a picture of something you're good at.
That just started a website. I think there's going to be so teaching people about how to make quality.
I think half the people listening right now have known Sarah Benedict Gerritsen I've known her most of my life. She's the one that introduced Susan and I. But she's an expert on coffee. She's a hell of a singer and a great musician.
She has many talents.
Yes.
Really. But yeah.
She launched that coffee website and did her first live. And I thought, there's somebody who sees an opportunity to just take advantage of the time she has.
And you know she's not as comfortable with it.
Hell no. You know, like, she hates it.
I know, but she's doing great. And I think how cool it's going to be to see what companies or brands or ideas or channels come from this because people have the time to do it.
Yeah. No, I think there are very few excuses right now to try this. And,
you know, I don't want to be callous about people that have, you know, that lost their jobs
right.
At the same time, like, what opportunities can come from this really, really crappy situation?
So that turns back to what I was going to go down the road of, not necessarily talking about cannabis in my industry, but talking about the kind of guilt or feeling of, this sort of plays into our hand a little bit.
Right, in that you guys were deemed essential.
Right, we were deemed an essential service. Really hard to say you've got a medical marijuana program in Washington State and then not keep it open at a time of need. So the medical operations were deemed as essential, and it looks like that will be kind of carried out throughout the rest of the country. But on top of that, there's some things about cannabis and the use of cannabis that could, if there were more studies and we had more information on how the body reacts and what all is in the plant, like, just the fact that we don't know, like, one of the things we know and that I've been working on for a while, and I had a research paper that I authored a big chunk of it, and it is about the use of certain compounds found in cannabis to fight MRSA and other infectious diseases that actually happen, particularly around bed sores and things like that. And the early information is phenomenal. And I didn't want to share, I didn't release the paper. I didn't do anything to kind of promote that whole thing. In fact, you've not even read it yet, but I haven't put it out because I was concerned that people would be, claiming that I would be trying to draw correlations between COVID-19 and the use of those compounds to fight it.
Right.
Because it's so close. We're talking about viruses and bacteria. And now that they're talking about using bacterial medication for a virus is kind of teetering into the same territory as what I was claiming.
Well, and if the parallels are there, it's not
right. That's my big fear is saying, hey, we've got strong evidence that this is really, really beneficial when it comes to bacterial infections and fights. And in some cases has like in lab mice has actually eliminated the bacterial infection. And it's really promising in certain areas. If you quickly draw the correlation over to what's going on now, it can sound like I'm trying to allude to that. And I'm not.
I don't think it's necessarily would be a negative thing because if you're already researching this and
other than I could look like an asshole who's trying to sell pot during this whole thing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But really like the idea that CBG, CBN, CBD and THC and the way they all work, those are all different compounds found in cannabis. And there are hundreds of compounds, or over 100. And we don't know what all they do in the human body other than to know that we have certain receptors in our body that are specifically designed for the only purpose of uptaking those particular things. So it's strange and hard to figure out why it's so effective on certain things and how it works within our body and having a fairly commanding understanding of that.
And why would we have them if... You know what I mean? Like are you just sitting there
waiting
to recept?
But that's kind of the layman's approach. And so what I didn't want to do was put out this bit of information and say, this is where we're researching. This is where we're trying to see what can come of this and how we can use it in industry to be of value. And then all of a sudden we've got this huge viral infection going around. And once they started making correlations to bacterial medication that could be beneficial, I thought, oh, I'm going to look like a real jerk who's trying to just
take advantage of it.
I know, but so I'm not going to do anything about that right now because there wouldn't be enough peer, you know, this is all going to be just kind of anecdotal as far as what I'm putting out there. So we won't know until it's not a Schedule One about even if it does some of the things that I think it's capable of in relation to MRSA and hospital beds and things like that. So this is all unrelated and was going on long before all of this happened. And I just thought, man, this would be really, really fascinating if we found out in a couple of years that the product and the industry that I'm in could somehow play a role in preventing infectious diseases down the line. And all studies, I mean, one of them is from 2008 at MIT that was showing early signs of that. So this is not new stuff, but we just can't study it.
Which is so stupid. But I feel like what better time?
Well, it's time to have the conversation. So what I would be pushing for, and I was, before we started this podcast, I was talking with a shareholder, but what I've been relaying is that we will take a position on this. But one of the things I'm trying to do is use our contacts to not say, hey, cannabis is going to be the savior in this. One, we're one of the fastest growing industries in the world. So when we're trying to come out of a recession or a downturn, you would lean on one of the biggest industries in the world or one of the fastest growing, which seems like the rate of recovery would be drastically benefited by us being a part of that and the tax revenue being realized by the feds. So it seems like a great time to be saying, or at least in the near future, be saying, hey, one, we could be a part of prevention of things like this or aiding in situations like this. Two, the stress and the heartache that a lot of people are facing by sitting at home, I can tell you one thing that makes being at home all day pretty awesome is the ability to have an edible and take the edge off of everything and just feel like everything's going to be all right.
Well, and that's another thing that's weird about this whole thing is there are moments where we're just going, it feels like you were saying, it feels like a Sunday every day.
Yep.
And when the kids are here, it's just busy. And so we've been getting a lot of awesome family time in, but then your life is normal. But it's not. It's just that's bizarre where you're doing the same things you would do on a weekend, but you just can't go anywhere.
Well, think about for us when we had first thought, oh man, we're going to be locked up for real. Like, mm-hmm. unlike lots of other places in the country, we're actually pretty confident.
Stay at home order.
We were confident a few weeks ago that this was going down.
Yeah.
So we'd gotten prepared a little bit and got some supplies, and we knew this was coming, at least felt strongly that it was. How many times do we say, like, oh, we're going to crank out like 20 podcasts? We'll just crank them out. We've been doing a lot of other things, but it's amazing how, like, when you really get into creating content and trying to run businesses that are built around this platform, mm-hmm. there are so many different ways to share content. And I can do something that's so amazing. Like, when I've got a bunch of videos of B-roll of, like, the Suncliff product spinning around and coming out of the dark into these really beautiful shots. And every time I, like, even post a teaser about it, it's a meh response. And then I put something that's just really, really kind of grassroots and simple, talking about CBD or Suncliff, and that gets a ton of response. And, oh, where can I get it? You guys are still mailing it out. Great. I was worried about it. You know, and, mm-hmm. and it's amazing how
have I told
it's got to be authentic.
Have
it's
I told you the experience about that one influencer who did an experiment? She was, I think she has a podcast too. But she was growing her brand, growing her business, and she would look at, she never posted a picture of herself because she didn't think she was cute and didn't look like all the Instagram models, whatever. So she started just researching what posts did better and why. And the ones with her in it immediately did like 3 to 4 times, like had more engagement. And so she made an effort. She's like, I'm going to make sure I'm in every single one of my pictures, whether I'm comfortable or not, for like a year. And her business just blew up because it's people want to see the person doing the thing.
That's why I think a logo and a brand and a mantra is not enough to represent who you are. It doesn't define for the customer who wants to have an ultimate connection with the brand.
And who's now used to
right.
seeing into the private lives of everybody.
Right.
All and their favorite people.
I don't think there are very many brands yet that have fully taken the strategies of like the story brand and ideas that stick and all of the like very, very popular books about how to build a brand and applied it to today's model, because today's model is shifting so fast. Like we and our team are like, we're in this every day. I'm like with the TikTok thing, there's still, I would argue that 98% of the people listening right now
do not have TikTok.
And when they find out what a wormhole of entertainment that is and how amazingly authentic it is, it was hard for me to watch television and movies because I feel like I could go to YouTube and find a creator that I really care about that I've been watching for a couple of years now.
And learn something.
And learn something and feel motivated and impassioned and like it just feels good and the quality is amazing and they're cranking it out all the time with no rules or boundaries around them. It feels like the wild west of content. Yeah, it's amazing. And now TikTok has made those videos seem like television shows. They're a little too long. They're dragging out the point a little too
far. And how fast did that happen? Too.
Real fast. I remember going on TikTok and when you're thumbing through going, what the hell is going on? Just know I was right there with you. And I put it away. Remember, I put it away for like 3 months.
You got into it way more than I did at first. Cause I was like, can you get off that stupid app? I don't want to hear all these random people and songs and all this
stuff.
It's out.
It's like, I don't get that. It's like, yeah, you don't get it because this is a movement, man. the first girl that did this has now gotten like 30 million people to do it. And now it's a dance and the parents all freak out. And it's funny. And you'll go through these things and you just be like, why are they pouring the cup of water and it's falling all over the floor? Like, what are they doing? And then it will click and you'll understand. And it's amazing. We're all going to have TikTok accounts. So just get mm-hmm. over it right now and get with it. And whatever you think about it, like it's just, you know, Facebook was only for college kids to rate hot girls, all that. You're going to have a TikTok account. So you might as well do it during the downtime mm-hmm. and you can thank me later or take a swing at me later. Cause you're going to spend a lot of time on it.
Oh yeah.
I've
convinced half of my girls to switch over and the other half like, we don't care. We're not the cool moms.
Yeah. I'm right.
Like, we'll get now actually Kelsey has
yeah.
crossed over.
Oh,
too.
Their kids are going to force them all to cross over. But one of the things too, if you have a business or you're looking to get an idea out, the built-in tools for creating videos, it seems a little complicated, but I promise you, like what's available on TikTok, if you've ever done an Instagram story or you've tried to take a story on Facebook and do it, you don't have nearly the creativity tools that you need, and you're probably not going to become an expert in Adobe Premiere. Like if you're intimidated by doing TikTok or an Instagram story, then actually editing a film, like in a film-like setting, is going to be so far beyond what you'll ever want to do. TikTok has taken that out of the equation and made it pretty straightforward for you to make
these amazing videos.
Things. They're only a minute long, so if you've got a product you're trying to put out there, if you go make it on TikTok and just put it on a platform where you have no followers or a couple of followers, but you share that to all of your other platforms, you're going to have the ability to do things that you couldn't have done on Facebook ever and that you wouldn't have any skills to do. You could do it on that platform and then it would work for everything else you're doing. And they know that. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so successful.
I love the share.
Right.
I mean,
you're like, I could do it on Instagram, but it's going to take me a half an hour. I can do it in 3 minutes in TikTok. It's going to be way better. And then I can share it to everything else. So,
I mean, is every episode of our podcast going to turn into a TikTok love fest?
Maybe. I mean, you guys can hit fast forward 2.5 minutes and we'll be moved on to a different subject. But I think the part
for me,
of this
it's
is
been the best thing.
It's a game
ever.
Changer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about like most people listening have some passion or some business or something that they're really excited about. And maybe it's even just one of our things that we're excited about. So I think when we talk about it, it's not a, I really feel like when people are listening to a podcast and when I'm listening to a podcast, like I'm part of the team.
Right.
When I listen to Joe Rogan, I feel like I know his general, I think you turned up my headphones, by the way.
No, I turned it down.
Oh, well, I'm rocking in my
own
ears.
Is that yours?
I'm number one.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like you're kind of part of the team. So anyone that's listening to us has been traveling with us through this journey. Like you have a semi-vested interest in what Susan and I have going on or the brands that we represent.
Unless you're my parents, then they don't.
Right. They just have no idea. I don't know that my mom listens either. But anyway.
What do people mean when they say they follow you?
Wow. Literally, they're standing outside right now. If I go to the store, they'll be right behind me. Anyway. I think all of you that are listening have a fairly vested interest in us and all of the things we have going on. And so the TikTok thing is really about, it's such a great tool for us. And those of you that we're like pushing to do something.
Well, now I do honestly feel like I have thousands of people who genuinely want to hear what I'm doing next. Whereas before I felt like I had some people that were super into it and some people like, yeah, no, we like it, but we're not going to watch it every time.
Yeah.
You know?
So to recap, one of the things we were talking about earlier was like, I have this weird guilt about what's going on in the world right now, because a lot of the things that we do are benefited by the fact that people are now consuming more content.
Mm-hmm.
They're searching out the platforms that we've been using and things we've been beta testing.
They have time to listen to things.
People are a little more concerned about their health and well-being, and that plays into a lot of the products and services that I provide.
People need stress relief, which also plays into the products and services.
Right. And the United States government needs additional resources as far as incoming financial means. And we've also got them needing to be more thoughtful about what we consider medicine or medication or how it plays a role in our lives. And also we're talking about like right now they're letting a lot of prisoners out of prison because they're at risk. There's a whole paradigm shift that's going on. And most of it really, really points back to the other thing I didn't even touch on is like our access to capital. The way we have to raise money is sell off a piece of the company or take one of these just very, very aggressive term loans. And there's limited availability to us. And most of the licenses that I work with, so the actual companies that own a marijuana license in a particular state that's growing it, has to adhere to certain rules about what money they can and can't borrow. They can all borrow money from banks anytime they want. They can take out institutional loans, no questions asked. But if they take money from a private individual, which is every dollar that they've ever raised for the most part, because no banks are lending money, they're forced to report that. And that person is a true party of interest. And it's comes with it a whole laundry list of baggage that comes along with it. Some of the things that are being talked about right now, there may be funds available to us via a line of credit or an SBA loan that never would have been an option for us a couple of years ago. So our industry as a whole, if people can maintain and keep their employees employed, one, that a lot of the employees are probably going to get some financial assistance from the feds. Two, their jobs or the companies they work for are going to be spoon-fed some capital to be able to help them cover their payroll. And then lastly, there may be some funds to ensure that companies have a ramp or a runway to make sure that they're actually getting somewhere when we come out of this. And we're a great example because if they make funds available to us, what we're going to do is deploy it at our property so that the farms can expand. So we know we're an essential service, so we're going to continue to exist, or our partners are going to continue to provide product. But I don't know that the Liquor and Cannabis Board is going to continue to process all of the pending transfers. We have a bunch of licenses that are waiting for their final approval out at our land. So we've got farm, like at our main farm, we will be growing most of the plants that all the other farms need. So think of it as a nursery that feeds the rest of them. Mm-hmm. The whole point of providing federal funds to these businesses or small businesses is to ensure that they have something that doesn't just, their business isn't crippled when all this is over with. So what we would do with those funds is build the greenhouses, continue kind of not recklessly, but aggressively building out infrastructure for these licenses so that when they do get their final approval, they can hit the ground running. And that's the difference for us between whether or not we need to employ as a collective group 300 or 400 people next year or 50. You know, it's whether or not we represent $10, $20 million in the market versus two. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference. And when they're taxing us at the rates that they are, when I say we do $2 million, what we really mean is there's $6 to $8 million sold at retail that's taxed at 37%. So if you think about that, our partners bringing a couple million dollars of product to the market or to on the wholesale market, that really generates millions of dollars more for the state of Washington than it does for us. So we're a great place to allow those funds to be deployed. And so it's kind of a guilty feeling or a weird spot to be in right now, knowing that the main topics and points that I've been trying to make for 10 years are finally being forced into the limelight, and the funds might be available. The desire to, well, like I said, if we're letting prisoners out because we're worried about the spread and we're worried about that, we're definitely going to consider maybe just legalizing pot and taking advantage of the many, many billions of dollars that are there for us.
And benefits to people's health.
Health. I mean, that's the thing is I have to like push all that aside and go, yeah, we get in trouble for talking about the benefits. Yeah, we can't talk about how many, you know, United States veterans that we've helped get off of dozens of opioids. You know, like we can't even talk about that without getting flagged. So I have to talk about, my talking points are, it's financially in our best interest and we can provide jobs and we can provide that. Listen, if we're being honest, like the best part of this is that box that I used to haul around of thank you letters from people of the 14,000 patients we had in the greater kind of East Side area that were mostly people just saying, you've changed my life. Like I've hugged strangers and held them while they're bawling I'm like weird stuff like that. Like that's the shit that really makes this fun. It's really what it's all about. We have friends. I'm rambling hard right now, but we have friends. We have friends right now that are going through really, really hard times and saying, hey, if I can't order stuff on Suncliff, can you just put a bug in Jake's ear to make sure that like whatever I need to do right now to make sure I have it, it's all I need right now. Mm-hmm. And that's not even, quite frankly, it's not even the real deal. Right. I mean, CBD, it's real CBD, but if you're really, really, really trying to treat something, you're going through chemo, the benefits of THC as far as just, you know, relaxation and kind of letting go and keeping your appetite up, like that's the real deal. But if CBD alone is all that they need, I mean, we've got a handful of people that are, you know, said, listen, I can weather a lot of things through all of this.
Right.
Make sure that's available. Mm-hmm. Including your dad, who's holed up. Mm-hmm. Wondering what the hell he's going to do.
Yeah, he was like, yes, Jake, if he has more Suncliff.
Yeah. So big soapboxing, but really all to summarize that whole thing is really, it's weird. It feels like an exciting opportunity for all of the things that I've been doing over all these years. But then there's a fair amount of guilt about the fact that there's a lot of people struggling right now and probably going to continue before we get through all of this.
Well, and I struggle between, I want to be informed, want to know what's going on, but I also, it's going to spread. It's going to get worse if where it gets better, and nothing that all I can do is stay home. Yeah. So part of me is like, how do I protect my mental health? How do we make sure we're not like walking around our house in doom and gloom constantly? Cause our kids will pick up on it. And like how the balance of it all and just missing seeing people, missing, you know, my parents coming over, all that stuff. But one thing I do think though, is that people are going to have a heightened appreciation for other people. Like mm-hmm. I've been walking and running a lot and just like the waving, you know, from 6 feet away, but like the hello person, mm-hmm. hello person. I just feel like we were kind of sick of each other and with, you know, the divisive politics. I think this is going to be a reminder like, hey, we need each other. Mm-hmm. We need community. Like that is something that deep in our soul that we need.
I think we kind of just were dicks to each other as human beings. And everyone blamed social media and like millennials mm-hmm. For that. It was like, oh, it's this, they don't get it. They're staring at their phones when they have mm-hmm. to be real people. It's like, no, you aren't nice either.
Yeah.
Like you're not nice. That's why
I think it's like, okay, fine. You guys want to be all mean? God's like, I'm going to take it away and then we'll see how you do without anybody. Yeah. So I think when we are able to come, you know, schools open on this, I think people are going to genuinely enjoy being together so much more, at least for a couple of years.
Yeah. Or a couple of months.
Yeah.
But no, I think I told you the other day this, like I never understood my great grandmother and everyone in my family would break out laughing as soon as I mentioned the hand washing thing. They lived on a farm in Central Oregon. You walked in the door. She said, wash your hands. You touched something, wash your hands. It was a wash your hands. It was like crazy. That could have been her name as far as I was concerned. Mm-hmm. Constantly telling us to wash our hands. You got germs on your hands. I thought, well, I've been picking my nose and playing outside in the mud and doing everything. I guess I will wash my hands. It never occurred to me until last night that my great, great grandmother, so her mother mm-hmm. had twins, Jesse and Bessie, and died shortly after she gave birth because she died of the Spanish flu in the 1920s. So my great grandmother, when I was coming in from outside was saying, wash your hands. You have germs on you. You have no idea what that can do. You can end people's lives. Like her whole life was shifted because of germs that were being passed from one American to another that actually killed her mother. And she was raised in an entirely different world than she otherwise would have been if people would have been more thoughtful, or we had a better understanding of germs and there would have been more hygiene involved in people's lives. And so I just thought last night I was literally brushing my teeth and I walked in.
How many times have we told Carter, wash your hands.
And why? And I remember thinking, oh, I sound like my great grandma. Like she was crazy about the hand washing. Like she, in the old days, no one sat you down and said, oh, did you know that my mother died of a disease that was born of, you know, poor hygiene and a new virus that we didn't know how to do. Like you're like, those things were not spoke on. And so I feel like we joke that it'll change us for a couple of months. I think what we're experiencing right now is going to change us for a long time.
I think so too.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't been to a grocery store yet, like our grocery stores here, like I went to Safeway, they put up plexiglass in between you and the teller. I didn't even have a chance to tell you that. But tonight when I was there, I thought this is the first time where there's a 4 foot wide piece of glass in between, or plastic in between you and the teller. And so when you hand them the money, you have to like reach around and hand it, you know, through the side. And that's just to prevent the exchange of germs. And like that's you know, something that just came out over the last couple of days, but it will definitely reshape the way we interact with each other. It
makes me sad. I like to hug and shake people's hands.
Well, you can still hug and shake the hands of the people, you know?
Yeah. I know.
I think everybody feels like that. I think that's part of the reason why we wanted to get on tonight and just kind of be free flowing and not really have a whole lot of context, because there's a lot of people that feel exactly like you do right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's helpful doing the video calls. I mean, my girls have once a week set up or we all do our little Zoom calls, and it's, there are some people, obviously extroverted people like myself, just miss more of that. My introvert friend said she's been training for this her whole life.
Yes.
But, regardless, yes, I think that hopefully people will just not take community for granted, because I know I did. And I'm really glad to be like married to you right now, because I would be so bored.
I'm glad right now is.
I'll just be talking to my cat.
Just to verify, you know, bloviate is to talk at length, especially in an inflated or empty way.
So most of this podcast.
Right, that and, but it was used bloviate, in the most appropriate
absolutely
of ways.
I feel like I should know more words than I do.
Well, you're a writer. Mm-hmm. You write about what you care about. You're not going to bloviate on a bunch of useless things. Words. Might have used that wrong, but.
Well, I think if you guys are listening to this and you have questions for us, or you just want to say, hey, and connect and give me more people to talk to.
Yeah, we can't really do the guest thing right now. So yeah. Obviously we're just going to kind of fill the air with as much of our personal opinions as you can tolerate. And
reach out to us on the socials. Yeah,
send us ideas. Or if you've got something that you think would be an interesting topic for Susan to write about for Seattle Refine,
yeah,
or Bellevue Lifestyle, or to do a blog on. There's a lot of things going on right now. A lot of people that are looking for ways to get a message out. So whether
and to
it's
feel heard.
Yeah. So if you've got something that you've been working on, or somebody sitting out there, I referenced earlier that if you wanted to do a podcast, and right now we've got a very good friend of ours who's putting together a podcast. And so I've already built out links for everything that you would need. So yeah. If somebody wants that, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to get you set up with something as simple as a mic you can use with your cell phone, all the way up to a fully produced
situation. Unless you have an situation. iPhone.
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing I'll tell you is, you know, put that in a drawer somewhere and, you know, use something else. But anyway, so if you're interested in finding ways to kind of be a creative outlet for yourself, feel free to reach out to us directly. We're happy to help. And hopefully we'll have a guest here soon. Probably going to be one more with just us rambling. But yeah.
Thanks for listening.
If you're still there, hello.
You're still there.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you on the next episode. Oh, you didn't. There was no way we were going to get through that podcast without her dropping a Cardi B reference.
It just pops in my head at random times.
That's another TikTok virus that's in your world.
I know.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, hope everyone stay safe out there and
wash your hands.
Wash your hands. For real, though. Go wash your hands. Sometimes.